Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Today we're going to talk about value-based medicine. I think people have been hearing that term as if it's some new innovation. It was part of the last act of Congress to get rid of the so-called doc fix, and it was made to sound like it's going to save money and it's going to be a way to, I would say, control doctors as a means of controlling cost. But before we get into that, I just wanted to make a comment about yesterday's FBI, I don't know what you want to call it. I'm just still speechless. I don't know about you, Dave, but I couldn't believe that I heard what the FBI director put out there as a reason not to indict. Are you as shocked as I am on that one?
I was blown away. I sat there and listened to the whole 14, 15 minutes worth, and I thought, well, son of a gun, as he was going, you know, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, yeah. 10 minutes, and I'm sitting there saying, well, I'll be darned, he is going to recommend an indictment. And then in the last 30 seconds to say, but I don't think, the only thing I can figure, and I, you know, I don't know. I'm not privileged to know. But the only thing that my thinking is that Comey's no dummy. And he figured, well, no matter what I do or what I say, the DOJ isn't going to indict her. They're just not going to. So the best I can do for the American public is show for what she really is. She's a liar. She's lied throughout the whole process. Here's the proof that she's lied. She's incriminated herself. She's, you know, so forth and so on. You know, but how many Americans are going to listen to CNN? All the rest of them have spun it already to the point that she's a saint. I was blown away. And I think that she will get hers someday. I don't know when, but she will get it someday.
The problem is we're all going to get it, you know. And I think it's a good segue into this supposed revamp of our healthcare system. There's this complete disconnection between the law and what they say the law is. It doesn't apply to everybody. Just like the Affordable Care Act didn't apply to Congress, even though they passed it, it was good enough for us, but not good enough for them and their cronies and their aides and this sort of thing. It's a complete two-tier system. Healthcare system is going that way. Now we're seeing this as just a naked reveal of what goes on in our congressional justice, Congress, executive branch. It's just ridiculous. But we all pay the price for this. I think we don't get into politics a ton. I mean, we do, but from a medical perspective. But at this whole election process, if people can't figure this out by now, this is a watershed election. Either we have a law-based society or we don't. And the two candidates up right now, Trump and Clinton, basically are extensions of that statement. You have somebody who broke the law, who burned documents, who met with foreign heads of state, who got money from people, who's, you know, a globalist through and through, and UN is ruling our country at the expense of the American people, you know, on all levels. But let's talk about health for a minute. We have an influx of people, migrants, immigrants, whatever you want to call people, coming into our country, unvetted, bringing all sorts of diseases into the country. They even changed the baseline of what people need in terms of if you have HIV, active HIV, before that was a reason not to allow you to become or emigrate to the country. That was reversed in the past, I think in the past couple of years, if not the past year. So you can actually have an active communicable disease, untreated, come into the country, potentially infect our citizens with the sanction of the government. It's just unbelievable from a health, from a public health standpoint. It's totally unacceptable. You have children who potentially have TB in schools who can pass it to their classmates. They might not even know that they have it. They may be a carrier. And once you have TB, this is not something that you can get vaccinated for. It's not something necessarily that there's medication for. You've given it to a child who could potentially infect their entire family. Where does this go? And who knows what other communicable diseases have come through that we don't know about? You know, we have people, Mexican and South American people are only part of the people coming through the southern border. There's people from Africa. There's people from endemic areas where they have things like Ebola, et cetera. How do we know that's not coming into the country, too, because we're not told the truth by anybody? And it's just on every single level, it's the same playbook. It's the same stand down, don't tell the American people what's going on. If they ask a question, demonize them, not surveil the people who you should be, but surveil Americans so that you can shut us up and shut us down. And anybody with a question will either be investigated by the IRS or put in jail for as a whistleblower. It's like completely reversed than what it should be. We're not being protected. We're the ones who are the enemies, and people coming in who should be questioned as to why they're entering our country get a carte blanche. It's kind of sick, don't you think?
Beyond sick. I'm really at the point, Dr. George, I don't know what to say other than we've got to keep fighting. And that's the only thing I know to say, really.
Well, fighting in real terms means withdrawing your consent. That's how you do it without, you know, you just don't, you know, you don't buy into the system. You don't pay for these entities to get rich on your back, and you make conscious choices not to get sick. This is not a healthcare system anymore that will take care of you. It's designed to take your money, to drive you into a silo of mediocre care. If you really do have a high ticket item in terms of the disease process, they will drug you up to make the money on you, but when it really comes down to it, are you really going to be cured, or are you really going to be managed so they can, you can spend all the money possible until you become a senior citizen, then they'll just pull the plug. Or they'll deny the care because it's not medically necessary. This is a complete and medical industrial complex at this point, with the sanction, and let's be honest, of the United Nations. This is World Health Organization driven. We are on the cusp of falling completely into the socialized medical system, where decisions are taken away from the doctor and patient and given to the government. And the government right now is really, I'm seeing the bigger, you know, from a mild view, that the government isn't even running the show anymore. If things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership gets passed, we won't even be a sovereign country anymore, because other countries will decide what we make, who our workers are, who gets imported in as a worker. It'll displace more so than it already has with these H-1 visas, H-1B, whatever they're called. You're going to have all these people taking your jobs. And as a citizen, you're supposed to sit back, not complain, and just take it. And this is just ridiculous. And all this globalism, you know, multiculturalism really is just a catchphrase for have your lose autonomy, lose sovereignty, and be on the dole in some manner on the government. I mean, so those 40 million people are in some sort of government assistance. Or is it more now? I don't even remember. The number just keeps going up.
Yeah, I think it's more.
Government assistance means slavery, in my opinion. You don't have a chance to to run your own show. You're getting something from somebody else. Whoever controls the purse strings has the power. In my opinion, that darn well should be you and your family and not something else. I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off.
No, I just said I believe it's a lot more that there are somewhere or the other on welfare or getting money from the government. I think the number is up over 50% now.
And, you know, it's really sick. I saw an article that the Cubans have some sort of pipeline into our system. So if you're a senior citizen in Cuba, you can come into our country, get Social Security benefits, actually get paid more than an American senior in our country. What is that? That's just open season on seniors, and ultimately we're all going to be there at some point. So for those of us who think it's okay and it's just them, doesn't affect me, yes, it affects you. It affects you absolutely. And less now maybe, but your mom, your dad, your grandparents, and ultimately when they cut Social Security, which they are going to do or try to do, it's going to affect everybody. Be working for no future. It's just, the whole system is completely exposed now. If you're awake enough to see it, instead of practicing identity politics, which is the ultimate divide and conquer distraction technique. I'm so sick of it. And if Hillary Clinton gets in, it's not going to be race anymore. It'll all be sexist. That's going to be the line that gets used to do everything that she wants to do against us. Well, if you have a question mark, then you're a sexist. You know it's coming, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's already here.
It's going to be on steroids, though. I mean, it boggles my mind that people are so out of touch. Not everybody. And ultimately, if you watch the media, you would make it sound like, it makes it sound like everybody just loves what's going on. But if you really go on in real time and on the ground floor, I think a lot, I don't care what color you are, people are feeling something's not right. And I would hope that even though that speech by Comey yesterday was supposed to put everything to bed, I don't think it really did. From a political standpoint, maybe, but the court of public opinion, I don't believe, is going to go down and lie down on this one. Have you heard what other folks are saying about it?
You know, basically the same as we are, unless they are like back in the day in the 50s, they were called yellow dog Democrats. They'd vote for anything as long as they were a Democrat. Those people, you're not going to, they never paid attention to Comey. They never paid attention to anything. Hillary's our person, yada, da, da, da. But I think the people that are sitting on the fence are the people that haven't quite made up their mind yet or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think they're listening, yes. And it's just my opinion that, you know, they keep coming out with these stupid polls and this poll and that poll.
Yeah.
They ought to come out with the flag poll, you know. But I don't think the polls are anywhere close to right. I think that
I agree.
It's not the silent majority, as in silent Christian majority, but I think there's an underground silent group that's not saying anything, but they ain't going to pull the trigger for Hillary. They're going to pull it for Trump, or I would assume Trump. That's out there, that's being quiet and not saying anything. They're not taking polls. Even if they're polled, they're probably saying, oh, I'm for Hillary, just to throw everybody off. That's just my opinion.
I know we have to take a break, but before we take a break, I wanted people to think about this. If there is a silent majority, we need to speak up because of election fraud and everything else that goes on. If the polls are leaning certain away, then it gives them carte blanche to do crazy, bizarre things to make it so. So I say that the silent majority actually needs to start waking up and talking and getting, you know, sticking your head out from underneath the sand, because it's all about our future. This is the last election, in my opinion, that we may have a country or may not at the end of it. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. As I said before the break, you know, we really have to think about speaking up and not being silenced. That's the power that the progressives, which is a misnomer, totalitarians is really what they should be called. That's the power they have over decent people of all faiths, of all races, all sexual orientation. There's more people with common sense out there who just want to be left alone to, you know, raise their families as they see fit, not hurt anybody, not impose their will on anybody else. And that's the majority of the country. And you're being held hostage by a small minority. But they're so loud and obnoxious that it makes it seem as if they are the majority. And then you have to look at follow the money again. You've got Congress who, and pundits, and you've seen this. George Will's a perfect example. He'd rather have Hillary Clinton win because of a perceived, well, I think it's real. His power to persuade is gone. He's been exposed as, I guess it's called something called a Quisling, where they say that they're, you know, part of a solution, but they really want the status quo, and they're working underground for it. This is a time that we have to think about duplicity. That's a really big word here, but I think it really does capture what's been going on. People say that they're for something, but their actions are the opposite. I mean, you have, for example, Black Lives Matter, which are supposedly a grassroots organization, being funded by George Soros, who's one of the biggest insiders, globalists, if you can put your finger on, and he's manipulating people. We've had so much evidence of all these you know, pop-up demonstrations where people are being paid, you know, on not Facebook, I forget the other one, but it's called Craigslist. You're getting paid to go in and be a professional agitator. And invading someone's community to make it seem as if they're the ones doing the violent acts. This is theater. And if people would stop for a second, take a step back, really look at, read more, go undercover, not, you know, under the cover of this thing, not listen to what the media is portraying. They've been caught a billion times at this point trying to stage, you know, how something looks, frame it so it looks a certain way, and it's really not. The Trump, you know, the violence that's been fermented in the Trump rallies weren't by Trump supporters. It's by these people. But the way they make it sound, they blame Trump for causing this, for example. But these are professional agitators who were, like a flash mob, bought in to create havoc. And it's like you're blaming, you're superimposing what you're doing on the victim. Another thing about the, you know, Trump's a racist, 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 that's the meme. It sounds good, but it's not really true. If you look at his past, the golf club, for example, I just read in Drudge that golf club that years ago that he joined, he actually opened, you know, was instrumental opening up to blacks and Jews. That's not a racist. You know, he hires women. It's not a sexist. But I don't suffer people who don't do work and want to get over lightly either. And it's all about what it should be about. Your ability to get the job done, your, you know, your ingenuity, and how good you are at your job. That's what it should be. It shouldn't be quotas. It shouldn't be you get a pass because you're a certain religious member of a religious organization or a certain group or a certain sex. That's ridiculous because that breeds mediocrity in any form that you want to put it. But you have an excuse of why you can't succeed because it's someone else's fault. It's time for personal responsibility on all levels, and that also means from a health perspective. If you want to go out there and eat crappy food, fast food, you know, put everything in the microwave, and not eat anything, any vegetables, drink water, what do you think potentially is going to happen to you down the road? If you want to drink and smoke, you know, not occasionally, but, you know, go for it. These are things that happen to your liver, to your kidneys. The government is not going to pay for these things anymore, folks. they're going to find a way to manage you until they drain your bank account count dry on the medications. And when you really need something, it's going to be a no. Not medically necessary, not covered, or you're going to be on the hook for what they did to you. Medicare is exactly like that now. Let's talk about what they're talking about with value-based healthcare, for example. You would think that value-based means that you get the most cost-effective medication, medical care that you get to choose, right? So if, for example, you have a cancer, God forbid, and you want to do holistic care, supplements, something that's different than chemotherapy, and it's cheaper, it's more cost-effective, you and your doctor want to do that, for example, you would think that would be a choice in this type of system. It's not. It's chemo or nothing, and if you're a certain age or you have a certain type of cancer, you're not getting that medication to prolong your life. Ask the people in Arizona where at least 3-4 years ago, they changed Medicare coverage rules so they wouldn't cover something called Avastin for uterine cancer. And their method, their mindset was, it's too expensive, it only helps a small percentage of people, so we're not paying for it. That's the mindset. Good are the many, supposedly, outweigh the needs of the few. If something's really expensive and the government deems it's too expensive for it to be paid for, it stops being covered. And as Medicare goes, so does the commercial insurance side. So that basically was a death sentence for certain women with that cancer in that state arbitrarily. What about the 10% that it could have helped? Too bad. You know, either you're paying for it on your own. This is the kind of value-based medicine we're talking about. The other thing is doctors being forced in order to be paid and hospitals to give personal information about you, something called meaningful use. That means they ask, and I've said before, do you have a gun in your home? Have you ever tried to hurt yourself? How many people live in the home? I mean, it's for pediatricians, do you think your child, does your child thinks he is a boy or he or she is a boy or a girl? I mean, this is social engineering, getting information about you and your lifestyle so they can make population-based medical decisions. Population-based, think about that for a second. What does that lead to? Eugenics, possibly. You know, you're part of a group, a population. You act the same way as your group does. And if that's something, bad medical habits, or you have a genetic predisposition because of your race, well, you're now put into that group, whether or not you fit it or not. That's not medicine. That's control. That's totalitarianism. And I've said it before on the show, if you don't have your health, then you're really out of luck. You know, you really do need that in order to function. And if someone's decided, predetermined, that you are going to be more prone to violence, or you're going to be more prone to getting having heart disease or some sort of cancer, and they're going to start to micromanage your medicines, micromanage what your health care decisions are because of potential, you know, it's like pre-crime, pre-health care crime kind of thing. But where does it stop? And if the government is paying you because you're on some sort of government assistance, then you know, you're not getting that soda. You know, it's not going to be available on your EBT card. Or you're not going to be able to go and buy alcohol for celebrating your birthday because your genetic, you know, or your population says you're more likely to become an alcoholic. All the things that you take for granted in terms of health freedom potentially will be stripped away for the good of the whole. Imagine that. Just take a step back and think about that for a second. Whether you're a Democrat, Republican, independent, whatever, do you really want to live in a system like that? What do you think, Dave?
We've painted ourselves into our own box, you know? And
well,
like you said, the only choice is to you've got to do it yourself. You've got to take care of yourself. And that's waking up 30 minutes, an hour earlier, and working out, exercising, taking that walking in the evening when it's not 100. But it's all, and eating the right foods. And that's a big trick, too. And I know you and I have addressed it. That's going the extra mileage to either grow your own food or know where the food comes from. It's been amazing. You go to a store today that you used to count on. You can't buy, when you buy shrimp that says it's from Indonesia, what are you really buying? You're
exactly.
buying, you know, it's been, how long has it been frozen? Some of the thing that I found interesting is that food has no flavor today. I bought a watermelon that, you know, who knows how long it's been in storage, how they stored it, and it has no flavor. Looks like it, the texture's right, but there's no taste. And this, so point of the story is we have to take care of ourselves, buy the right foods, and eat correctly, and probably not eat near as much as most of us do.
Agreed. I think you're right on track with that. And it's hard because they've infiltrated the food supply with genetically modified food groups, you know, and corn. I think sugar beets are now, they're trying to do cotton. They're trying to do apples. You know, there's a lot of things out there that you actually need to buy organic in order to make sure you're getting some nutrition. You know, but you're drinking fluoridated water, so that's going to mess with you. I mean, this is just a complete, just overwhelming force on the body of bad stuff that you inadvertently take in. And the body's amazing. In fact, it's awesome that there's not more people who are actually sick, if you think about this. You're vaccinating children from the time that they're born with not a developed immune system. How the hell do they develop any antibodies to these vaccinations when their immune system is not yet fully formed? It makes no sense to do it for things like hepatitis B, which is a risk factor for a certain segment of our population, not an IV drug user. You know, I'm sorry, but that doesn't make any sense to me. And then the parents losing control over what gets given. And let's take a break because we need to talk about informed consent. That's another thing that's lost in this new healthcare system. You listen to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or...
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, in the break, we were talking, obviously, which we always do, but something made me think about what you said, Dave. You wonder the optics on this, that it's, you know, they could have done all this under cloak and dagger. Nobody had to know. So from the time that the secretary, I'm sorry, the attorney general met with Clinton on the plane that everybody knew about. It's like, really? To the interview on 4th of July weekend, you know, just all everybody is totally distracted with their cookouts and this and that, while this thing goes on, to the announcement on yesterday, and then the plane ride, on taxpayer dime, by the way, to gloat. I mean, it's just, you know, what is the agenda here? This whole thing was so transparent, so many question marks, brought up so many negative feelings about the whole process. Was it just to further break our will? I mean, I felt bad about it yesterday, but that's what they want from us. They want us to say to ourselves, this is bigger than me. Why try? This is so nakedly obscene that I'm just going to give up. I'm not even going to go vote. Doesn't matter what I do anyway. Just like you said at the beginning of our conversation, if Comey knew that they were going to just overturn what his conclusion was, well, he said, why bother? Well, you know what? Bother. That's your job. He should have been able to, you know, recommend indictment based on the evidence that he presented. And the law states that shall be, you know, arrested or convicted for what you did. There's no excuse of, I didn't do it on purpose, I didn't know, it didn't really affect the country. That's not an excuse. The law is the law. If it happens on your watch, you shall be arrested. It's a crime. It's not kind of, sort of. Negligence is a crime. Not knowing is a crime, just as much as willful, you know, doing it willfully. So he didn't actually make his statement based on the law. His conclusion is not based on that particular law. So it's read the law, people. It's obvious that she should have been and recommended for indictment, and she should be. And she should be convicted based on what the law states. And that's what they do. That's what they have done. Not just this administration. I'm sure it goes, if you look at every administration, it's just as bad, but it's just really out there in this one. But it's, the law applies to you, but not to me. Right? That's in everything. When are we going to start holding people accountable for, if the law is not the law, then it doesn't apply to me either. We have a banana republic by definition, don't we? And I don't want to live under that system, because it's at the whim of whoever's in power to take whatever group they want out by any means necessary. That's not a society, right? That's a dictatorship. And they're putting in place that sort of system. If you know and you knowingly elect somebody who's this above the law, that means anything goes. Any law can be changed. Any executive order can be signed. And the Congress has been a bystander since the Affordable Care Act passed. I don't know what they're doing up there. No wonder their approval rating is 6%. Deserves to be. And they don't even care. That's the sad part. They pass things like this value-based health care. It doesn't apply to them. These meaningful use and getting paid for, you know, pay for play. You know, as long as you follow their system, deny care, medicate people out until their, you know, until their minds are gone, that's what's valued in this system, and you will be paid accordingly. If you have your patients back, if you are about practicing medicine with the Hippocratic Oath as your guide, you are a disruptor. You will be removed from the system. You may not even be able to work in healthcare anymore. They ding you with peer review. So they're literally getting rid of doctors there. They don't want doctors who care. They don't want doctors who think. They want doctors who are going to be administrators, who sign off on what nurse practitioners and physician assistants say is the diagnosis, and there's no plan of treatment you can come up with that's already made for you in the algorithm. Any hospital, if you walk there and you're able to look at the, put in the orders, they're already pre-populated for you. You point, you click. If you don't click, you can't go to the next screen. There's no you know, you get a choice of certain medications on their formulary, and you can't go outside the box. It's frowned upon. The nurses now, the registered nurses have become case managers. They're no longer on the front line of care. They're not taking care of patients. This whole system is completely corrupt. And under the guise of evidence-based medicine, it's become driven by the pharmaceutical industry and the government and the friends of, you know, these formularies not based on, it's not based on good quality medicine anymore. That's the sad part. And all these pharmaceutical companies have gotten carte blanche, and especially now, those that make vaccines, it's just tragic. I just saw a commercial for the HPV vaccine for girls. And then they had another commercial that came on right after to target boys. At the end of it, they give this guilt statement to the parents about, so mom and dad, what are you going to do to protect me after giving them this horrible, you know, story about how the child got cancer when they were adults? And this vaccine has never been really vetted. We don't know exactly what it's going to do. I guess we'll have to wait another 10 years or so when all these children who've gotten it grow up to be adults. Are they going to be able to have children? Are they going to get cancer themselves? We don't know. I wouldn't take that chance for something that kills 4,000 people a year. And those people that are killed basically never go to the doctor, have a lifestyle that messes with their immune system. This is usually cleared 80%, 85% by the body's own immune system. So you're creating diseases now that you need to be vaccinated for. And it's a new thing. I've never even heard of Zika before this year. You know, I'm sure they're coming up with a vaccine for that. I'm sure they're coming up with one for Ebola. And I'm pretty sure they're going to try to force everybody to take these, whether they need it or not. Or HIV vaccine. I mean, you name it. It's anti-smoking vaccine. There'll be one probably coming up for to prevent people from becoming violent down the road. You name it, they're going to come up with it because it's a moneymaker and because it can't be sued. They're not losing money making this. They're making money. And as soon as the government gets behind it and mandates it, that's a windfall for that particular pharmaceutical company. Where does it stop? You know, where do we say and really start talking about the science of vaccinations and the vaccines themselves with all of the ingredients within them that potentially cause more harm than good? And why do you need to be vaccinated every year for something? If you have immunity, then you should have it, right? If I had measles as a child, I'm still immune to them as an adult. My titers are still as high as they could be, and I'm protected. Would I rather have just go through the process of having the measles and get done with it, or be vaccinated over and over again with something that's not even 100% effective that potentially could cause other problems in the immune system? These are the questions that parents don't get to ask because their pediatrician discharges them because they're put on, you know, in the police role. Now, if you ask a question, defects might come visit you to get your child away because you're a bad parent. This is a medical industrial complex, and you are guilty if you have a question or you don't want to, take part in it because you have an objection to it. I really have a problem with the states that are saying there's no objection anymore for religious reasons or personal reasons. You don't get to say that in certain states. Your child can't go to school, which is not legal, actually. And there are things that you as a parent can do and sign as waivers to say, I'm not doing it. And it's time that we start taking our power back, because if we keep ceding ground, what's the next thing they're going to make you do? To have a job, to go to school, to be members, productive members of society. You're going to have to give up so many rights. And I mean about your DNA, your personal information. That's not something you should have to give up. And I think we need to be a lot more aggressive about our protecting our personal rights. And we have responsibility to do that. What do you think, Dave?
I was just sitting here listening, and you're dead on, you know. Our individual rights, that's all we have. That's all we have. And as a parent, you know, you want to pass on what you've had to your kids. And I think every parent in the country should be teaching their kids their rights and their ability to stand up for their rights. And if it takes group action, then you do it that way. If it takes a single action, you do it that way.
That's another thing that people need to realize, that the whole education system, it's not about being educated and knowing things about your country. There's no civics. There's really no history. There's nothing that's really being taught that's making you members of a whole. Right? There are certain things that hold us together as a society because we have a certain frame of reference, you know, about where we came from, where we want to go, good and the bad. That's being removed from the curriculum. Children are staying in school longer. The days are longer. The year is longer. And they're being taught some really weird stuff in there. There's a private school in New York that they have that they're teaching the white students that they're evil and that their white privilege is giving them, they should feel guilty about being white. And they're taking the stuff on. They actually believe it. While on the other track, they're telling the minority students how awesome they are. It's complete divide and conquer. And as a young kid, without a frame of reference, as an adult, we can sit there and go, that's ridiculous, but they actually believe it. That's the next level of our society that's going to come out. What is society really going to be like with a bunch of those folks going into positions of power? That's a frightening thought. That is the total destruction of American society. It's ridiculous. Nobody's better than anybody else. We're all different. Right? Not better, but different. You have a skill that I don't. I have one that you don't. That's why society works, because we're not all the same. So imagine all the social engineering that's going on. That's part one. And the second thing is total acquiescence to authority. You know, they have drills in school, you know, shooter drills, etc. We never had that. We had fire drills, right? But not active shooter drills where you know, shelter in place, you know, become completely passive, and let fear drive everything. That's the key. It's almost like a Pavlov response. You have an individual who's grown up in that kind of system, and you have government saying, you know, constantly with terror alerts and this and that, you're going to do what you want, what they tell you to do. Get rid of your gun, shelter in place, go to the next, you know, community, you know, safe zone, or whatever you want to call it. That's not a society. That's a docile society of sheep who will do exactly what the government wants it to do. What if, you know, just keep that in the back of your mind whenever you think of something or do something. What's the worst thing that can happen? And decide whether you're willing to take that risk. That's a good way to stay out of trouble, in my opinion. So what if you end up with a government that's not on your side, that really does want to disarm the population so it can actually control it, not just with money, because if you're all on, or most of you are on, some sort of public assistance or government assistance in some way, whether that's student loans, whether that's, you know, welfare monies, whether that's having your home subsidized, everything is in place to just make the government control something about you. I would never, personally, want to take anything from the government for my home, you know, have them become the new owner of my mortgage. There's no way. What happens when they pull the plug on it? I mean, this is just, nothing's for free. When you see subsidies, you should be running the opposite way, in my opinion, because they got you, or they're trying to get you. But that being said, ultimately, if they disarm us, the worst case scenario is, you know, police state. You know, they'll control by gunpoint whether you get your vaccine, whether your child is able to take or forced to take that ADHD medicine, whether you can take a supplement or not. I mean, from a healthcare perspective, whether or not you can go into the hospital and get your hip replacement. You name it. The worst case scenario is pretty bad. And if that's something that, or an endpoint that can be reached, I say we don't go down that road at all.
Then you've got some actor idiot like Matt Damon coming out that all guns should be confiscated.
I wonder how many bodyguards he has, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
And again, this is where the media comes in, where you get half the story. There's always, for the stories that, you know, you have an active shooter and something crazy happens, there's always a story that there was one concealed carry person who ended it before it got started. Right? Yes, there are criminals everywhere, but disarming honest, law-abiding citizens doesn't make you safer. It empowers the criminals. Did you see the statistic about Chicago this past 4th of July weekend?
No.
It was like 45 people dead in a weekend.
Jeez.
From gunshot wounds. That's a gun-free zone, essentially, right? They don't allow guns at all.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like a Wild West down there. Maybe if they would allow people, law-abiding citizens in these neighborhoods, to carry guns, they wouldn't be such victims of crime. Now, yeah, maybe it's gang-related, but my God, why can't they clean up the gangs in that city?
You know, it doesn't matter that it's gang-related. It's you've got a problem, fix the problem. Whether it's gang-related, terrorist-related, whatever it is, and I think it's proof positive that taking guns off the street, taking guns away from innocent law-abiding citizens is not the answer, and Chicago proves it every weekend.
It does, and Kennesaw proves it every weekend, too, when you don't see those statistics, correct?
That's right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, there's another thing about gun ownership. You know, part of it is control as well. If they make people go through this whole process of getting checked and going into a database, etc., that has a chilling effect on gun owners as well. I don't know if you saw this, and this really freaked me out, but the government has it shares its database of gun owners with other countries. So the Caribbean's part of it. Europe is part of it. I have to find that article I read. It just totally freaked me out. So when you walk in or you go into another country, they already know that you're a gun owner. That in itself is bad enough. But what about the people who have access to that database? If we ever got attacked, or just think again, the worst case scenario, they're going to know what home to go to disarm you. That's a safety issue for the United States, in my opinion. Why would the government share that kind of information with any foreign government? It's not their business what an American citizen has in their own home. Don't you find that chilling?
I was just thinking, you don't want to give that information to Hillary, do you?
No, you sure as heck don't. But that database, I forget there's a name for it, and the states share it, but that's bad. But the fact that foreign governments share it makes it even worse. I mean, it's not a private thing. It is everybody and their mother knows. It just like reminds me of New York when some newspaper listed all the gun owners in that county and basically just blew up their privacy. I mean, things like that. This is exactly kind of what that is, but on steroids, because it's been the federal government doing it. So that database, you are actually on a criminal database as a gun owner, whether or not you have committed a crime.
That's sort of,
isn't that
like the one world order thing?
You always have to prove you're innocent and not guilty first.
Incredible.
Still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I didn't hear
Hello?
What you... Yeah. Dr. George, I can hear you. Okay, well, we're going to play a commercial, and we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Sorry, I got cut off there. But, again, this is a global question, whether or not we are part of a whole, and we're being a puzzle piece fit into a bigger picture. And that means you have to sync your society with everybody else, whether it fits or not. And I think that, and I think Britain is a perfect example. They're just tired of that. There's nothing wrong with having a sovereign country. There's nothing wrong with controlling your borders and having people who want to be in your country because they like your system, they like your culture, they like your language, and they want to fold into it. Doesn't mean you have to lose where you came from, but you don't get to superimpose your mores on us. There's an example again. They're all over the place if you look for them. There's a cab driver in London who refused to take a passenger, a blind man with his guide dog. He refused to take him in his cab because of religious reasons. Apparently, for Muslims, dogs are an unclean animal, so he wouldn't let him in. But his religious mores should not trump the actual disability law in their country. So it's illegal for him to deny this gentleman a ride in his cab. Oh, he shouldn't be a cab driver, right? But he's not going to be, nothing happened to him. So he gets to superimpose his way of life on the rest of that society. That's not multiculturalism. That's you lose your identity and your culture to somebody coming in, and they're more, what they think is more important, what they need is more important than you. And this is happening here in our country. But every time someone sticks their head up to say, excuse me, but I have rights too, they're racist, sexist, Islamophobic. And, you know, you can't be racist to Islam. It's a religion, not a race. But it's all this putting everybody at odds, picking winners, picking losers, with the power of the government to sanction things that are not right based on our own society norms and laws. And everybody sitting back and letting this thing happen. Having more of something that's not healthy or in terms of diseases coming in or something that puts the populace at risk. These people from the terrorists said they were infiltrating migrants coming into the country. They said it. It's not like they didn't say it. They bragged about it. And a majority of the people coming in are young men that are military age. We're not talking children. I always put the children as if it's in front. Those are the minority. Women and children are the minority of the people coming into the country. It's young, able-bodied men. Dr. I have a problem with that, single, not with family.
Dr. George,
that's the same kind of people that came across the southern border. So we have to start thinking critically, stop being, you know, controlled or manipulated by somebody who doesn't have our best interests at heart, whether that's healthcare, politically, socially. And it's nothing wrong with standing up for your rights. I think we have to go. I think we're done with our show today. Yeah. But I hope people take this to heart and start doing their own due diligence. On that note, thank you for listening to Medicine on Call. See you next week.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.